Good morning. I'm grateful to be here at Wildwood this morning in my capacity as Executive Director for MCC in Saskatchewan. This community is such a faithful friend and supporter of MCC's ministry in Saskatchewan and around the world. As has been mentioned, this weekend is this interesting weekend, Remembrance Day, Peace Sunday. It's a complex coming together of remembering the actors of war, the costs of war, honoring the hope of never again, and expanding the remembering to all of the children and communities and the earth itself affected by war and violence. To remember is to work for peace, even as bombs continue to fall. It's a little hard to watch the news these days and hear the words never again. Doesn't make sense. MCC has just begun an advocacy campaign called Climate Action for Peace. And my words this morning are an attempt to explore this interface of climate change and loss of peaceable community practices. I hope not to overwhelm you or me. I do hope to invite us alongside some remarkable people embedded in their communities, responding to the challenges of climate change in thoughtful and meaningful ways. And if you'd like to hear more about Climate Action for Peace, there's a link to a website on your bulletin. And also right now, actually starting today, we're hosting two colleagues, Sarah from Colombia and Durga from Nepal. And they're going to be sharing stories of impact from their communities and also what community partners are doing in ways that we can support them. So two events you're very welcome to join. This afternoon at 3:30 at Amigos, there's a conversation with Sarah and Durga. And tomorrow evening, Monday evening, at the MCC Center at 6:30, there's also a gathering. That event was created mostly for alumni, but Amanda asked me to invite you all because we said that we considered you all honorary MCC alumni, given your propensity to support all things MCC, thrift shops and relief sales and refugee sponsorship and blanket making and reconciliation and on and on. So, MCC's vision is communities worldwide in right relationship with God, one another, and creation. This is the vision, this trinity of relationships, God, community, creation. This is the vision we hold before ourselves as we do relief, development, and peace-building work in the name of Christ. The scripture snippets that Alice read this morning span the biblical record from the beginning to the end. And how we read these and other parts of the Bible will shape how we understand our tasks, our hopes even, as we live in a context of rapidly changing climate. So let's start with the first creation story. And just a quick reminder, there are actually two creation stories right at the beginning of Genesis that tell the story differently for different reasons, lest we try to read any words too literally. Our reading was from the sixth day. This is the day that speaks of humans being created. We think this is a pretty big deal. But please note, humans were not the only creatures created on the sixth day. We sometimes forget this because we do think we're a pretty big deal. But we're on the list with cows. And many of us who grew up on farms and prepped our calves for 4-H know that cows can be, well, kind of slow and salivating. But here we are, right beside them on the list of creatures. And God looked around at everything that was made and proclaimed that it was all very good. And in the middle of that description, God gives humans a task. And here is where we can send ourselves in quite different directions depending on how we interpret our task. In some of our Bibles, the English word chosen to describe the human task is dominion. In other English translations, it's stewardship. In the translation we read today, it's be responsible for and watch over. I will add that depending on what we see as the end goal, the far future goal, this human task also looks different. For instance, if the far future goal is escaping this worn-out world for a heaven far away, then dominion might seem more tempting than watch over. If the far future goal is a renewed heaven and a renewed earth with medicines to heal the nations, then be responsible for and watch over might be more understandable. I'll leave that for your lunch conversation, but you already know where I'm headed. I was struck a few weeks ago by a sermon titled The Dominion of Love by Barbara Brown Taylor, who is a favorite of mine. Barbara was speaking about how some human understandings of dominion have given permission for us to be pretty brutal with the earth and its creatures, including each other. She wonders if stewardship is more biblical, reminding us that we're not owners of the earth, but rather divine stewards entrusted with caring for the vineyard until the master comes home. We'll be held accountable for the landfills and the poison lakes. But maybe this is still a little too utilitarian, asking us to act from duty rather than from love. Barbara moves to the role of priest, which some say is the better translation of the Hebrew word at the root of dominion. Perhaps we are priests, asked to bless the earth and hold our labors before God. Perhaps. But Barbara's Presbyterian and we're Anabaptists, so she moves on to ask, maybe it's neighbor. Maybe we're called to be neighbors. And who are our neighbors? Well, we have a few stories that pop into our Sunday school formed memories. Do four-legged creatures count? Winged ones? Barbara asks, does God's compassion stop with human suffering, or does it extend to every creature in need of mercy? We're neighbors to cows on the sixth day list. We will not save the neighbors we do not love. So neighbors feels better, more connected, but Barbara is still not content. She invites us to ponder the role of kin. Kin, our relations. We are, after all, the youngest of God's children on the face of the earth. In the Genesis lists of days and creations, we are welcomed by every star and pelican and monarch butterfly and the cows and the loamy soil and warm sun on our faces and full sky sunsets. Many of us have been inspired by Robin Wall Kimmerer and her book, Braiding Sweetgrass. Robin and other Indigenous teachers urge us to understand ourselves as kin, and I think that's what Rich's story was about. Kin in relationship to all of the created world. There are teachings for us in the lands and the waters, in the plants, in the lives of the four-legged ones and the winged ones and the two-legged ones from places far away from us. All our relations. And these teachings are in the biblical record too. But they sometimes get swamped by battling empires. We need to keep our eyes and ears open for these quiet, enduring relationships. So Barbara Brown Taylor, in trying to understand dominion, walked through the roles of steward and priest and neighbor and kin, and she ends with the role of lover. She says it like this: "Lovers is my last shot, at least for today. We are made in the image of the first lover, the divine one, who brought this whole shebang into being. If it's true that we have been put here to live in that image, then the only dominion we can possibly exercise is the dominion of love. Without condition, without distinction, without self-interest, or secret devotion to any other dominion, including the one in which the value of all things is reduced to their price." The Matthew passage Alice read earlier takes this to an uncomfortable conclusion. We are to love even our enemies. For God is so loving and merciful that the sun shines on everyone and everything, and the rain nourishes all of life, not just that which is perceived as righteous or valuable to us. This is the sacred economy of God's creation. This image of an interwoven world offers us tremendous opportunities to speak love and peace into so very many contexts. It invites us to defy stereotypes and labels that tend to divide and isolate us from each other and our environment. I have several glimpses for us of people being neighbors, being kin, loving their world through their relationships and gifts. And I start with this mostly because it had a cow in it. Come with me to Bolivia, where we meet Tamar Clausen, who's in the back of the picture. She's a Salter from Manitoba, and Arnie Pejo is a Yamaner from Indonesia. And here they are with cows at the Santa Rita Mennonite colony in Bolivia. Working in a multicultural team means learning to create new patterns of peaceable living in new environmental contexts. This is what we need in our world. We need to touch different relationships much more than we are, because we're finding ways to divide ourselves, and we need to find ways to be wedded together. In Bolivia, it turns out old knowledge is key to meeting new climate challenges. Here we see Valentin and Luis displaying potatoes they've grown by using native seed recuperation methods. This just means we're getting back to what Grandma and Grandpa knew. They're preserving and cultivating native potato varieties that are long adapted to the harsh conditions of their own environment. Valentin explains, "These are pure native potatoes from this valley. We got these seeds, and that is what we continue to use to carry forward these potatoes from our grandparents. We are planting pure native potatoes so they will not be lost. I sow naturally with animal manure, and I do not use chemicals with this seed. MCC's partner, Prodi, is working together with Valentin and Luis and 180 other indigenous rural families to improve food security and sustainable livelihoods with increased farming productivity and more continuous agricultural activities throughout the year in order to reduce seasonal migration. Seasonal migration puts many pressures on communities, often including, unfortunately, increased levels of family violence and increased pressures on women-headed households. The fuel-efficient stove in Mapacha's dirt courtyard in Mwenezi District, Zimbabwe, doesn't look like a life-changing piece of technology. It looks like a 2-foot-high round metal can. Nevertheless, this sturdy stove not only cooks a traditional family-size meal of sadza, thick cornmeal, and beans, it is also empowering Mapacha and other women in the district. No longer does she have to walk 6 miles every other day to find firewood in the mountain, where she's wary of poisonous snakes and men who could take advantage of her in the remote area. The new stove cooks with just a few pieces of wood and dried corn cobs, which she can gather close to home. And the stove is portable, giving her freedom and time to pursue work that generates income for her family. She grinds groundnuts into nut butter to sell and collects fruit to sell or eat. In 2021, MCC's partner, which is called Score Against Poverty, introduced a clean energy pilot project designed to empower women while addressing climate change. In this rural area of southern Zimbabwe, SCORE staff see the impact of climate change as one of the biggest threats to life in the community. Inconsistent rain, high heat, unpredictable growing seasons, heavy flooding. The project provided 50 of those fuel-efficient stoves to women, as well as solar power systems and biogas digesters that process manure into gas for cooking and other uses. SCORE decided to focus its energy project on women. The technology gives them opportunities to earn money, gain respect from their husbands, and share what they learn about clean energy with their neighbors. Cynthia, who here is on the right, Cynthia is the project officer of this project. She says, when we have empowered these women, they can stand on their own and they can be able to have a voice in the house. Cynthia is an engineer and she has customized these stoves using the women's feedback. She also adapted 3 biodigesters to their locations and installed solar power systems for 12 families, a school, and a health clinic. And her work on these projects, as a woman, helps mothers to think more widely about what their daughters can become. Each gain multiplies opportunities for farmers like Rebecca, a widow who uses manure from 18 cows on her son's farm to power a biodigester. She collects 3 5-gallon buckets of dried cow dung a day, mixes it with equivalent water, and feeds it to the underground biodigester. This creates gas that's piped into her kitchen and to her 2-burner gas stove. She, too, no longer needs to make a long trek to find firewood. The biodigester gives Rebecca enough power to add lighting, refrigeration, and even irrigation. These gains in income, in leadership, and in community engagement are exactly the kinds of opportunities that SCORE is hoping to bring to women in Mwenezi. I love these stories from Zimbabwe. They illustrate the beauty of restoration that is possible as networks of people and resources flow together. Women are safer from violence, children are fed, and imaginations for the future are expanded. War, on the other hand, drastically limits imaginations. War has devastating and brutal effects, not only for children and families and community infrastructure, but also for climate patterns and the environment. For instance, the bombardment on Gaza and South Israel will shape the lives of generations, along with devastating the biodiversity, poisoning the waters and air, and releasing immense emissions into the atmosphere. The violence of Hamas and the violence of the Israeli occupation both need to be addressed in ways that can meaningfully respond to historical trauma, historical grievances, and can meet deep needs for security and for community flourishing on healthy lands. This is not the way. Even before this latest war in Gaza, conflict over diminishing water supplies has been shaping the lives of Israelis and Palestinians. MCC partner, the Applied Research Institute of Jerusalem, has been developing wicking technology to support kitchen gardens with minimum water usage in Palestinian communities where access to water has been severely restricted by the Israeli occupation. Here, Fatima tends the cauliflower and herbs she's growing in her rooftop wicking garden, which has enabled her to grow vegetables that she would not be able to afford otherwise, and to contribute to her household resilience in the face of vulnerability and poverty. The time Fatima spends in her garden has brought her much joy. That's a piece of this puzzle too, joy. And she's motivated to keep developing her capacity further by creating more boxes from local materials. At the end of the Book of Revelation, there is this vision of restoration, a river of life, trees bearing fruit, leaves for medicines, healing the divisions between nations. This is a vision of right relationship with God, one another, and creation. And this is not an otherworldly image. This is a world we can imagine. This is a world we know the smells of and the tastes of, the sounds of, the sights of. We can see this in our hopes and our dreams. This is the restoration we hope for people like Sofarul Yum here, who hopes for the reunification of her family in Cambodia, as MCC's CFGB account funds a project enhancing the reliability of nutritious food for her family so that the migrant work can stop. As climate change challenges livelihoods in many places around the globe, our task as neighbors, kin, and lovers of this world becomes starker in some ways, and also it becomes more deeply meaningful. We don't know what we will be able to save, but we will love it all. So let's get on the peace train.